Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to go ahead and email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's.
Oh, all right, Dan, before we get into baseball here, like I'm sure we're going to do, I'm sure you've seen that John Gruden has decided to step away from the Las Vegas Raiders after some emails were leaked that he wrote, I believe it was 10 or maybe even 11 years ago, when he was working for ESPN. All right. Now, I want to state here that I fully believe Gruden deserves to be fired. There's no doubt about it. For the things he wrote and said and all that stuff, he deserves to be canned. I have zero issue with that. The problem I have with it is, you know, this is part of an investigation into the Washington, well, Redskins or football team, and there are over 65,000 emails involved in this. How are these the only ones we're hearing about, Dan?
Because they're the cheap and easy ones? Somebody doesn't like Gruden? I think that's what it comes down to. Somebody doesn't like Gruden.
So yeah, it very much almost feels like he was set up as a fall guy here by the NFL.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, isn't this what they do in politics? So it's no different, right?
So. But yeah, and then I think the other thing that baffles me here, and this is where you come in, he wasn't a head coach, worked for ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
So why did they make this the NFL's problem?
Because he was emailing back and forth with a racist owner.
Yeah, actually, it was a front office executive who he was actually emailing with. But, you know, I mean, why don't we hear about this front office executive? I don't even know if that name has come out yet. But John Gruden,
you know,
sure did.
Well, that's the that's eventually where I would have led to. But talking with a coworker today, and, you know, he brought that up too. You know, we were just, you know, BSing about sports, whatever, you know, and I'm like, oh, sadly, I'm rooting for the Sox as a Cub fan, and they're going to lose. And he's like, well, you know, the Bears won, and Gruden's fired. And, you know, we were both kind of like, it's not surprising, but at the same time, you know, I didn't know it was 10 years ago. But you've got to wonder, like, I don't know. I'm not one to put all of that stuff into an email. You know, what you and I talk about on the phone, you and I would never email each other. You know, certain things. Even if it's just joking around, you know. I would never call, you know, email a friend of mine and start off with, you know, just derogatory terms, so to speak. You know, we might call each other that in person, but, you know, and I don't know if it's just, I don't know where that comes from, but you would think John Gruden would have had some more sensibility than to be putting this stuff in email.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, and again, I'm not defending Gruden. He deserves to be out. I also would like to call out the idiots who are pushing the fact that the Raiders have the first openly gay player. They actually do not. If you remember, Michael Sam was drafted by the then Los Angeles Rams and played for the Dallas Cowboys. So while the Raiders do have an openly gay player in Carl, I believe it's Nasib is how it's pronounced, or Nasib, he's not the first. And you would think large networks would have fact checkers that would get this stuff correct for them, but apparently they don't. So
no, you only fact check Donald Trump talk. But, you know, like you pointed out, my coworker simply said, he's like, I don't understand. He goes, this can't be over. And he goes, and the other thing I don't understand is, how are we only seeing Gruden's email responses or, you know, replies, whatever? Where is the person he's communicating with? You know, he's like, I can't imagine the guy on the other end, or the person. I don't even want to limit it to a man, right? It's pretty sexist. The person on the other end of this email, you know, he even said, he goes, it's not like he was going, you know, responding back, John, you shouldn't be saying that, you know? So it'd be interesting to see how all that plays out. And like you said, why aren't we seeing that side of it? Why is it only the John Gruden side? You know, because that's the one thing with the media that they do just so quickly and easily is manipulate stories by how they want it to play out. And this is definitely one of them where you only put one side. So, you know, if he's getting in trouble and going down for something, you know, what's the other guy? We don't know if he's innocent or not. He could be saying things worse. And he could still have a job.
So, yeah, it's very strange. You know, and again, I'm not defending Gruden. He needs to be gone. I mean, that was ridiculous, the stuff he said. Just get rid of him and move on. But, yeah, it's just kind of baffling the way it all came out. So, you know, and there are some people who even think the Raiders leaked it because they wanted to get out from under that contract with him.
But how would they, if they're investigating the Nationals, the Washington, the WFT, as I've seen so many times today, what would the Raiders have to do with it, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, how would the Raiders know about these emails, you know, stuff like that, so.
Yeah, you know me, I'm a big, I get into those conspiracy theories, but I, you know, that one, you're definitely grasping for bendable straws, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that's what they do, you know, I mean, that's how it works, so. We'll see.
But, you know, all in all, I mean, John Gruden had a pretty solid football career coaching. I don't know if he played or not. I always liked him on TV, so it is kind of a shame to know that he's that much of a dumbass.
Yeah, or that terrible of a person, one of the two.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, just how it is, and you know, I mean, obviously, he's been the coach of the Raiders for 3 or 4 years, so he's already cashed 30 or 40 million of that contract, so he shouldn't be hurting for money. So that, you know, it's not going to affect him. He's going to go away, and we'll probably never hear from him again, and that'll be that.
Yeah, and to be fair, I have not read the things he said, so I just didn't even want to go that far.
Yeah, I didn't see the exact comments. I saw the ones on Marcus Smith, and I don't want to repeat them because I don't want to misquote him. But they were they were definitely racially motivated. You know, I know he mentioned lips and a couple other features. Either they were racially motivated or he was hitting on them, one of the two. So I don't know which one it was. But,
What if that was you know, if he turned around, never mind. Speculate.
You know. Enough with that. We don't need to go on with that anymore. So did you remember to set your fantasy hockey lineup? Because the season opens tonight.
Oh, it opens tonight. I thought it was tomorrow.
Yeah, two games tonight. I believe it's Penguins, Lightning, and the Kraken are opening tonight. And I don't remember who they're opening against. So, and can you tell me, I know we've had some messages going back and forth in that league. I didn't really keep up with them. Can you tell me what's going on?
So, I have to say, Big J, you know, I did peek at the history. I don't know if I invited you to it. I've got to go back and check that. But we've had this league going since 2014. We did forget in, like, 2017 to register this league. Or I don't know what the hell happened. You know, it's probably just whatever. So we've had really, you know, I think in the beginning it was kind of hard. People, you know, don't – number one, we both know people aren't big fans of 20-team leagues to begin with. And we've had a series of, you know, our thing was we dropped the bottom five, especially if they're not participating. You know, I've actually gone in and I've seen guys in the bottom five that were changing their lineup, and guys that were above them that somehow placed higher than them weren't, you know, even involved half the season that I eliminated instead in certain situations between all of our leagues. But this one I thought Big Jack had a huge turnout. We only had three auto pickers, and I don't think the two will be back. Maybe the one will come back of the third one. So he missed the entire draft because his daughter was in a pretty serious car accident. So broken ribs. Yeah, some good stuff. It wasn't just a little fender bender where, you know, dad just had to be there. So it kind of sucks, but, you know, I wasn't going to start racking up my crappy account, my dummy account with negativity. So I told him to just create another account, and then I'll transfer the team there. Because like you said, I think you said Greg may have told you that before. He didn't want to join a league because he sucks at it. He didn't want to ruin his Yahoo stats.
Yeah.
So that's what this guy was kind of complaining about. And, I mean, I didn't know. We don't even have a possibility to transfer to phantom teams, do we? Is that even a thing in Yahoo?
You can transfer it to, like, another email address. Like, you could transfer it to your secondary email address, you know, if you wanted to do something like that. But
well, that's what we did for him. So
yeah.
But I didn't know if they had an option. You know, I didn't think Yahoo had an option to just, no, we're going to blank this team out because this guy's not happy with the draft.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see if he plays under that other account. I still think, especially with hockey, well, he's not going to make the playoffs unless he's able to find some youth and make some good trades. So that'll be interesting. But I don't know about you, Big Jack. I mean, for all the sports that we do fantasy for, I feel like this one probably had the best turnout, or one of the best. Or I think we're just getting consistent with all the people in our league.
We've never had that many people show up for a draft before.
Really? Because we had 17 guys, and it was 8 p.m. on a Saturday night. I don't know how many East Coasters we had. I don't know if we have many East Coasters in our league. Granted, it's only 20 teams, but,
yeah.
You know, the one guy did suggest that we lowered the time limit so that it sped it up, but you know, you can't go back and look at what the settings were. So I just assumed you had already done that because you've done that in the other leagues.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't like it in – did we do it for football?
Yeah.
I think we decided we didn't like it, so that's why we didn't do it for this one.
Yeah, that's what, wasn't sure. I mean, what was the timer at, 30 seconds?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Maybe we'll try it next year.
You know, and I don't know. I don't think – to me, that wasn't the big issue. I mean, yeah, it could go faster, but – it all depends on how you bid and how you, you know, play the draft.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters. I think we could have it down to 15 seconds, and it could still take longer depending on, you know, how each individual person drafts, you know. For me, you're going to die.
Yeah, the biggest issue we had with the draft was the fact that, like I told you on the phone when we were talking about it, just too many guys who watch Storage Wars and didn't realize that when you bid with 1 second left on the clock, it resets to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So they weren't doing anything except extending the time frame.
No, and I was
so, yeah, it was
definitely guilty.
Oh, okay. So.
Well, I mean, you know why I do it. I don't do it because I've watched too much Shipping and Storage Wars. I do it because I want that guy to think he's going to get them.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, there were a lot of people who were in that same boat. You know, they think, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this guy. And then, you know, you pop up or somebody else pops up. But, yeah, when people do that, the clock resets to 10 seconds, and then it runs down again, and we get somebody else who does it, and the next thing you know, it's taken 40 or 50 seconds to make this play. And, you know, then nobody, you know, whoever ends up with them.
Yeah. I mean, all in all, I already anticipate the auction drafts to go at minimum 3 hours. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? To me, and I think you're right, I think we did it, the shortened one in football, and it was a lot more difficult because you really had to be on top of it. You know, you sneeze or turn away and you missed the bidding. Well, and especially, you know, I don't know. I felt like this draft went really well. You know, you finished in 3.5 hours. I think you clocked out at 11:30.
Oh, yeah.
The way I was going, you know, I was able to pick more guys up later. So, you know, when you had about 15 guys and I had 9 or less than that, because everyone else had lost a lot of money and we helped blow money on guys they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to pick up guys quicker, but I did make a huge mistake. You're going to laugh. So you definitely helped, you know, us being on the phone helps out. And, but I'm down to my last couple rounds and it's getting close to midnight. I'm usually pretty up all night, but so I had the game going on one screen, I had the draft going on the other. And I put my last – I had, you know, a guy up to nominate. You know how you just fill your queue with guys you want to nominate to get rid of and guys you want to draft. And I told you my last one was a goalie that I wanted. And I was going to bid all my money on him. The only problem was I forgot to put him number one in my queue. And as I'm sitting there just waiting, you know, because you've got to go through – you know, I did mine, so now I got to go through another 15, 20 minutes just to get to my last pick. And I fell asleep.
Oh, geez.
So it ended up drafting Nick Bonino, who I really didn't want. But luckily, Sunday morning when I woke up, I put in a waiver and was able to land my third goalie, Tokarski.
Okay.
So it wasn't horrible ending to the story.
Well, that's good.
So, but it was pretty funny. I'm like, oh, he's Big Jackson. I love this one.
Yes, that is awesome. So, So, yeah, no, surprisingly, I thought the draft went really well for me. I think the main concern I'm going to have is I don't have what you would call a top-level goal scorer. I have a lot of guys who just kind of fit the mode and fill in. So, like, I don't have that number one guy who's going to go out and really, really score goals for me. And genuinely, I get one of those guys. This year, for whatever reason, I didn't. So.
I was trying to look up my my team right now, so I don't know if the one guy I have is the high goal scorer is the Jared McCann from the Seattle Kraken, but he's already out on COVID protocols.
Oh, well, there you go. So that's going to be an issue there, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully Ovechkin and Stamkos can kind of make up for that.
So yeah, I've got to see how this works out for me, and hopefully hopefully I'll have somebody who like breaks through and racks up starts scoring goals. But yeah, I think that's my biggest concern heading into it tonight.
Yeah, the one thing that threw me off the most though was, you know, with all the trades that happened, I completely forgot that Marc-Andre Fleury was a Blackhawk. So here I'm thinking I'm drafting the Knights goalie.
Yeah, that definitely was not what happened there.
No.
But hey, maybe it'll work out for you. But yeah, no, like I said, we'll see how it goes. I, never know. So.
Now I had one, so, I told you who I wanted to go after, and that was Dustin Tokarski as my last pick. I know he's not starting, but he's backing up Craig Anderson, who's 40 years old. And he's the starter right now, but are you a little surprised that the guys who were left over, or even the computer for the auto pickers, didn't end up grabbing this guy? Because there wasn't really any starting goalies left, and he was kind of higher up there and when you list out the goalies. Or maybe that's just where I have filtered on. So, but are you surprised still be available?
A lot of it depends on, like where a team is at that point in the draft. So, a lot of goalies went. There were a lot of guys who were taking goalies really early. So it just may have been to the point where they didn't need it, and it just kind of, I got two starting goalies really cheap late in the draft because I had money. Nobody else really did, and they had already got their goalies. So... it was just kind of like, oh, okay, I'll grab this guy. So yeah, I was, I was pretty happy with the way things worked out. So we'll see how it goes starting tonight. We'll run everything out there and get it going.
Yeah, I just like the fact that we had 17 guys. We would have had 18. I think the two I think those two are going to be dead for the season. But other than that, I think it's going to be a good season. I mean, even the one baseball, I think both baseball leagues, we had only a couple dead teams. And, I mean, even when I made the announcement, on the message board, like, hey, these are the dead teams, like, oh, well, they're still doing better than me. That sucks. So it's pretty interesting that we've been, you know, I mean, we're almost on, I know you've been doing it a lot longer, but the records, you know, as far as I can see back is 2013, and for almost the last 10 years, we're, you know, we've got a solid group of guys. You know, we might not know everybody personally.
Yeah, no, I out of the hockey league, you're actually, I think, the only other person I know. I don't know any of those guys. You know, it's just people who have joined. You know, a lot of them have been, you know, a lot of them are long-term players now in that league.
Yeah. Well, we have Secret Squirrel. I don't know if you ever met him or know who he is personally.
No, I've never met him. He, believe it or not, he actually used to work with Mr. Fantasy. That's how...
Oh.
That's how he became involved with us. And the elk as well, that's how the elk got involved. So,
they've both been with us.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much since the beginning.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is interesting that even though we've had people jump around, I think it was 2018 was the one where you had a group of guys join. And, I don't know, I think
yeah, it seemed to take a little bit to kind of, I guess we'd say, filter out the average player to get the real quality type of fantasy player that we're getting now, which of course makes it much harder on you and I. Because these guys know hockey, probably, I know you're not a big hockey guy, so probably better than you, and a lot of them probably even know it better than I do. So
yeah.
It's just kind of like, yeah, okay, yeah, so.
Well, and it's funny, like you said, you know, we relied on our baseball and football leagues to bring people in, and then our Facebook pages and, you know, things like that, and I think it's always gotten people interested. You know, one of my nephews joined the hockey league the one year, but he had no clue what to do for the auction. I'm like, what do you just bid? It's pretty self-explanatory. But, you know, even that, when we were pretty packed with guests from the fan-sided network before they all started their own podcast and ditched us.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of those guys that we got to join who would just come for the draft, and, you know, that was the end of it.
Yeah, I do remember the one guy we had on many years ago didn't want to join because he was, I believe he actually used the term too good, and he didn't think it would be fair. And he did end up joining, and he didn't even make the playoffs. And it was just kind of like, wait, how good were you that you're not in the playoffs? So
that was one of the baseball guys, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was one of the many baseball guys that we have had on. So, but, yeah, it was just kind of like, because I remember the conversation on Twitter being, yeah, I probably won't join because it's just not fair to you guys. You know, I have more experience and I know too much, and it just wouldn't be right. And I think he took the last spot in the league. I remember emailing him and saying, hey, we've got one spot left. Why don't you sign up? And, yeah, he took it. We did the draft. And then, yeah, he never made it to the playoffs and never joined up again. So.
You know what I did find interesting, though, you know, for having this league for as long as we've had, and just the other ones, looking back at the history, if you look at the amount of guys that are in the league today for each of them, we, as far as the top three go, you know, minus your top three spots that you've made, we don't, I found it so very interesting, we don't have as many of the champions that I expected to see. You know, the guys who won the league or hit number two. Granted, we have that odd year where my brother-in-law and mother's boyfriend joined, and they went to the finals, and one beat the other, and they both quit the league the next year. that one is just an anomaly we'll never be able to understand. But you know, it's just super interesting how you would think that people who beat us, beat the crap out of us, won the league, and we'd have many more still involved.
Yeah, it's odd that, you know, you win a league and then you don't come back to it. So,
you know, and oddly, for the Hockey League, the first place winner joined last year, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of what's going on with that league. We're getting more and more experienced people when we have openings.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty interesting because the five or so guys that joined last year all pretty much placed in the top 10.
Wow. So, yeah, it's definitely a tough league, and you know you've really got to be on your game. I mean, I didn't get as much research done as I wanted before the draft, but I think my team is going to be okay. So, so yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I just got to, you know, like a lot of teams, if I get good goalie play and I get, you know, I can get a guy kind of break out, score more goals than expected, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. Now, how hard, where were you at on the Patrick Kane? You know, let's keep it a little bit local. You know, when you see guys like that, how hard was it for you to, what was your thought? I mean, I had him once, and I just, all I remember is my bad luck. So it kind of steered me away,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, no, you
what
know,
were
luckily,
your thoughts?
You know, luckily for me, I had him a few years ago, and he was really good for me. So I don't have, you know, any issues. I was kind of hoping his name would come up a little later, and it was just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's a little early, and he went for a lot of money. So mm-hmm. It was just like, yeah, no, I'll let these guys spend this big amount, and I'll get, you know, I mean, I ended up getting multiple players for what that person paid for Patrick Kane.
Now, you know, I had to fight it out for Stamkos and Ovechkin. I think Ovechkin, too.
You know, I nominated Ovechkin just for the money.
Oh, you jerk. You knew I was going to buy him.
Well, you know, and I made sure you had money when I nominated him. I didn't nominate him like after you spent a bunch of money. So I was like, let's get Dan to spend some money here. We're going to put Ovechkin up and let that go.
But, you know, the different, and I don't know if it's just a different strategy in this league or with hockey to begin with, or hockey just has so many guys that you can go after because of the different lines and things like that. Were you surprised that those two guys in particular kind of were nominated so much later? Or do you think someone was just trying to avoid nominating these guys like I was?
Yeah, I think what guys wait for is the players they really want, they try to hide, and they put them up later hoping they'll have the money they need to buy them when the names come up.
Yeah, well, I find it interesting, though, because it seemed like in this league that actually happened more, where you'd get, you know, Patrick Kane and some other names. But in other leagues, I feel like it doesn't matter. You know, Mike Trout's going to get nominated regardless, but even, you know, down to like Didi Gregorius, he was getting nominated. You know, these guys were like targeted. So a lot of the players that may not be the super A, you know, super high A superstar, maybe more of like a B guy, were still getting nominated higher. Quicker than you would anticipate, where this league, it seemed like even the top stars, people were just kind of trying to avoid putting up there. I mean, I did notice there was a trend when the goalies were going that I think a lot of us followed when we were all nominating goalies.
Yeah. Yeah, I did notice early on the top names on the board went. They were just coming right off the top. Nobody was looking for anybody interesting to nominate or anything like that. It was just, oh, who's at the top of the board? Let's nominate him. And then all of a sudden it was kind of like, oh, okay, let's not do that anymore. Let's start looking for guys to nominate. And I don't know, again, that's where I don't know if people realized it was getting down to players they really wanted. So they were kind of trying to hide them or catch them or whatever they were trying to do. So, and I was, it was just kind of like, oh, okay.
And not to say that you started it, but do you think that after a couple of your nominations, maybe mine too, but more so yours, guys started to realize, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be nominating the guys we want to go after, unless your name is ends with Dixie.
Yeah, that was the odd – that, you know, that's the first time in a draft I can honestly remember – someone nominating a player they wanted and actually going after them and bidding on them, especially early on. So. But, yeah, you know, I mean, again, I hopefully it works out and, you know, people will continue to play and change their lineup, and we'll have a fun year starting tonight. And, you know, this weekend we jump into the NBA.
Yeah. Well, and you'll find it interesting, the in the one league here, you knocked out in baseball, you knocked out the Mega Powers.
Yeah.
So it was actually a tag team. You know, there was two guys playing that on that team, and the guy who was the partner, the secondary manager, actually reached out and said, you know, told me to invite him to take over that team. So,
oh, okay.
Which I thought was pretty cool. You know, I did the invite now. I don't know if that's going to work, but, you know, hopefully I remember, because I think the manager of the that team that was just dead from the start, well, for the last, like, 2 or 3 years, I think it was. I don't know if he's still with us or not.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you mean with us, you mean just didn't want to play, hopefully, because sadly we did lose a guy one season. He had been in the league for a very long time and passed away, and it was like, oh, my God. So I remember getting that email from his son, and I was just, God, it was literally heartbreaking, talking about how much he enjoyed playing in the league. And so,
yeah, and my wife's getting to the point where she don't, I don't get that look anymore. But granted, on Saturday, before the draft, I also rebuilt our front deck the entire day. So.
So yeah, you earned your you earned your stripes. You're able to draft.
Yes, but you know, when we get the notifications, I immediately put them up in our calendar.
It's a good idea, you know. So she knows. Otherwise, you're gonna get in trouble. But all right. Well, let's move on here, Dan, because sadly it appears that the White Sox season will be over in a matter of another inning or so. They're down 7-1 to the Astros in the bottom of the eighth inning. Again, not surprising to me because of the way the Astros were playing, but still disappointing. What's your take on this?
It's highly disappointing. You know, I think it's one thing for the Cubs to lose or the White Sox to lose, but it's another thing to, I don't know, I just, it, feels like everything they did is just gone, you know? Like, it, not that it was all for nothing, but just all that excitement and just being able to see this team perform. Because let's be honest, they've got a pretty damn likable team. You know, a lot of the guys you can get behind, they're fun to watch. So, you know, we haven't seen this on the South Side in a long time. And, you know, one of the things that I think made them a huge underdog, too, is, well, no one cares about the White Sox. I mean, you'll never hear anything about their rebuild, which I think Rick Hahn's rebuild was much better than what some other players, you know, other managers have done. That remains to be seen, though. You know, we haven't seen, we'll have to look, dig into later in the offseason into contracts and, you know, the terms and lengths of everybody's, what they have going on. To see if they'll blow up like the Cubs did one year magically. So, you know, that part of it will make it interesting to look at, but I just think it just sucks, you know, it's disappointing. And I wouldn't say you're disappointed in the players. It just, one of those things that didn't turn out, but, I mean, it just shows, you know, when you look at the flip side, there's always next year for the White Sox, and I think they're going to continue to grow. You know, Dylan Cease just got lit up yesterday. Or not yesterday, the day before.
Yeah.
So I think that had a huge play in that. I mean, I don't know. You know, some, you know, what was it really? Decisions Tony made or just guys not being able to perform at that level? And I think that was it. I mean, if you look the Astros compared to the White Sox, not just the better play, but it's the relaxed, being relaxed. Not being so tense, I think I would say. And I mean, when you go back to the garbage can year, you know, it made it so hard to not believe because we watched certain players, J.J. Redick, I forget who else, have the best batting average, you know, hitting for their career to going back to not even into that level the next season. Makes it very suspicious. But at the same time, watching this team just beat up on the White Sox the way they have, it just makes, I don't want to say a disbeliever that they didn't cheat, but I think they're really validating themselves. I don't know, are you in that boat? Do you kind of feel that way too?
No, they're a good team. It's clear that they're a good team. And, you know, they've really, you know, they were probably playing the best down the stretch. I know everybody was talking about Tampa Bay, and I'll get to them in a minute. But I really thought Houston was playing the best in the American League. I believe I even said that. You can go back a couple podcasts and hear that before the playoffs started. So it's just they were – the right team at the right time. And it'll be interesting to see if it continues into the championship series. So. You know, but I did find it, what I got a chuckle out of yesterday, going back to yesterday, is, you know, Tampa Bay and Milwaukee are both very what you would call odd with the way they handle their starting pitchers. And yesterday it blew up in the Rays' face, and not only did it cost them the game, but they were eliminated from the playoffs. This is the second time in a row. Remember in the World Series, Blake Snell was throwing a shutout, and they removed him from the game. They ended up losing that game. Yesterday they went with McClanahan on short rest, and he got crushed. So I don't know, Dan, do you think maybe they sit down and rethink their pitching strategy heading into the playoffs if they get there next year or again? Or are they just going to try to be the smartest guys in the room?
I don't know. You would think they'd have to, but still Kevin Cash down there, so it might be more the same next year. You know, I mean, you never know, though. It is kind of unfortunate. I honestly thought after game one that Tampa was just going to take it. and that the Red Sox didn't have a chance.
You know, and then, you know, Milwaukee yesterday, I don't know what the hell Craig Counsell was thinking. Freddie Peralta has four shutout innings. He's rolling along, and he pinch hits for him. And they didn't score. They got shut out. They got beat 3-0 thanks to Jeff, former Cup with Jack Peterson. But, I mean, clearly just an incredible panic move on Counsell's part to make that swap, pull a guy like Peralta who was rolling after four innings of shutout baseball. And you basically cost yourself a game, and now you're on the brink of elimination. I know that game's going on right now, too. It's nothing-nothing heading into the fourth. So it looks like another tight game there. And then, oddly, he came back with Eric Lauer as his starter today. They didn't even go to Corbin Burns. But my guess is Lauer only pitched four innings with the idiocracy that they use running their starting pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if it comes from another game and gets them bumped out of the playoff. But, yeah, do you feel that these guys are panicking? The ground under their feet is getting too hot, and they're panicking?
Oh, yeah, big time. You think about Cora, he's relaxed, wouldn't you say so? I mean,
he seemed like it.
Series, got you know, suspended for cheating, came back, and there's cool as a cucumber, as they say, and I think that's being the bigger part of it. Counsell... Not to say the Braves have any much more experience, but you would think that he wouldn't be falling for that, just the panic.
You know, he's been to the playoffs multiple times, but they seem to be so intact with whatever, you know, analytics tells you to do that you pull a starting pitcher who's rolling. And, you know, it basically cost you the game because your reliever gave up a three-run bomb.
Yeah. Well, in sabermetrics, whatever, do you think it's part of the fact that maybe they're coming up with too big of a game plan? Like, this is what we want to do today, as opposed to, you know, just to give it a bad analogy, Big Jack, but going back to wrestling, you know, two wrestlers getting ready, prepare for a match, two groups, you know, you got one match, match one and match two. Well, match one, you know, these guys go, you know, just lace up the boots, talk about the finish, go out there and do their thing. Where match number two, these guys have mapped out every single move step by step. And when you screw up that one step, you screw up the rest of it. So then no matter how great the finish is, you screwed it up because you screwed up one of your steps. And I feel like sometimes the game plan that they're coming with, they're so focused on that game plan that they think about any other, you know, outside situation that can happen as opposed to just, you know, going with it, flowing with the game. You know, I just, like, this game gets so analytic, but then why, if that's the role they want to go, every series that we watch when players, former players, current players get in the booth, they all mention, yeah, analytics are good, but you need the eye test. You need to actually see it. You need to see the guy play. You need to see the guy swing. You need to see the guy take a ground ball. You need to see the guy swing at fastballs, curveballs, all of them. You know, it's not just numbers that do it. And, you know, I wonder if they're coming up with too solid of a game plan where you can't make a mistake. So if you panic, that, you know, that's the only thing they're going with. Oh, you know, where I feel like up until the era of counting pitches, I felt like counting pitches was just so you have an idea. You know, in this situation, when so-and-so is up, he's hit 85 pitches, he might, you know, at this time, he's been consistently, you know, losing steam. Or you flip it and take Greg Maddux, who seems to get better, you know, as the pitch count went on. So, you know, back in the day, Big Check, you know, the numbers were used as to assist, to give you an idea where to go. Where today, I feel like the numbers are, they use the numbers to tell them what to do.
Yeah, what it seems to have eliminated, you know, and now everybody thinks that Craig Counsell is a very good manager, and, you know, his record would probably show that, but what I would question is, does he trust his gut instinct, or does he just look at the sheet of paper and say, well, analytics tells me to do this, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm trying to get to, even though I go around by way.
You know, because that's what it seemed like he did yesterday. I mean, we'll see what he does today and how that plays out. But he really, for lack of a better term, screwed the pooch yesterday. And he cost his team a game. I mean, when you look at that, that's all on Counsell. That has nothing to do with the Brewers. They played tough, hard-fought baseball. That was Craig Counsell's one decision to give up on Freddie Peralta after four innings that cost the Brewers that game. You know, and we'll see if he makes that same mistake again. You know, and you wonder the other thing that may have cost them. You know, the Braves turned around and went with Charlie Morton on 3 days' rest. I was wondering why the Brewers didn't go with Corbin Burnes, being the fact that it's an elimination game for them. And there are reports, Dan, Burnes, and the quote here was, just not physically ready. Do you think that he's not physically ready because he was micromanaged and shorted innings so much during the season that when his team really needed him, he just couldn't go on 3 days' rest in the biggest game of their season?
I think that's a big part of it.
So, because, yeah, I mean, you would think, I mean, he's a Cy Young contender. He's going to get a lot of votes, may even win the damn award. And they can't use him in an elimination game because he's not physically ready. That's frightening. I mean, legitimately frightening. That your ace couldn't come in and go for you on 3 days' rest. That tells me something about how you're running your team, that this guy isn't ready. But, yeah, and then, you know, moving on to last night, sadly I didn't get to see it, but apparently I missed a really good game with the Giants and the Dodgers, huh? 1-0. How much of that did you see?
somewhere around 11 o'clock. And then... You're going to laugh, Big Jack. I'm sitting in my – I had to do some work, just check a couple things. And I'm sure this happens to you too, you know. While I should have gotten up and sat down on the couch and watched it on the TV, I just kept it on my lap, on my computer, and was just – you know, every commercial break, I'm like, oh, I'll move in the commercial break, and I didn't move. I actually fell asleep in my desk chair against – you know, with my head against the wall. So I woke up at like 1:30.
I did that once and my back hurt me for days. So,
oh, my God. Yeah, so I missed it. but, you know, it was a pretty solid game going into it. You know, I did get to see Longoria's home run. You know, just kind of odd the way they were talking about him going into that at bat and see him get that run. So it was a, you know, up until after, even after that, it was just a solid pitcher's duel. You know, those are fun to watch, even if, you know, even though they're not 14-6 or something.
Yeah, and, you know, and I know, you know, Max Scherzer had a great outing, and he's getting all the talk, and he lost. What was funny is I didn't even know who the Giants started last night until I got home and watched the box score. I read the box score because nobody talked about Alex Wood. Now, I get it. He only went 4 2/3, so he didn't do a Scherzer, but he didn't give up any runs. Neither did the next three relievers who came in. So give the Giants some credit there that they were able to come in and shut down what is a really good Dodgers offense.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, and I mean, the Giants have a chance now to, you know, to close it out. And I saw that Walker Buehler is going to come back on short rest to go for the Dodgers tonight. So their ace is doing what the Brewers' ace couldn't do. And the Giants are going with Anthony DeScalfano, who has really struggled against the Dodgers. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if the Dodgers can even it up and how it works out. And then you've got to guess it's your guy Julio Urias, right, for Game 5 if the Dodgers go that route. It'll be Urias against Logan Webb, two really good pitchers.
I couldn't see it any other way. I mean, so, you know, for me, it's hard because I like both these teams, even though it's like breaking the law. But, you know, if I want to see a Game 5 between these two teams, I'm going to see those two go up against each other.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would see, honestly. I would love to get to a Game 5. So, you know, even though sadly it would be, what, Thursday night, and I probably wouldn't be able to watch much of it, I would still like it to get there. So, but, yeah, I find it interesting. Dodgers are going with Gavin Lux in center tonight and Chris Taylor in left. Cody Bellinger is going to play. The struggling Cody Bellinger is going to play first base tonight. So we'll see how that works out for them. But I would probably have Taylor in the lineup all the time, even though he does strike out quite a bit. He's been a fantastic player this year. But they're an analytic run team. So this is the lineup the computer spit out. They're just plugging it in. So
now we're. You know, aside from kind of the silly move the Rays made, were you surprised that they didn't win and that Boston beat them? Or
yeah, I was a little surprised. You know, I mean, we're talking about a team that had 100 wins, you know, and it made a big run to the division, while Boston was very up and down. Honestly, I was really surprised they got out of the wild card game. You know, I really thought the Yankees would find a way to win that game and move forward. So, yeah, the Red Sox have some kind of feel or role or magic or whatever you want to point to. You know, and to be fair, that ground rule double really kind of screwed the Rays because that run would have scored had the ball went over the fence. And probably should have awarded him home plate, but you know, it is what it is. So,
well, you know, I forgot what the rule was, but I mean, it was legal with the rule, so it aligned with the rule, and it kind of sucks.
So. All right, let's come back tomorrow. Giants Dodgers. I just want to see you in that house and you can listen to the same time you want.